Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem. We are right on the top line. It says the more itma we learned chardal mustard, so they used to grind it up and then turn it into a paste using its own natural moisture. So this chardal shaloshayim erev Shabbos, which he had already kneaded, he had already turned it into a paste prior to Shabbos. Lemachar, tomorrow on Shabbos itself, he'd like to dissolve it into water or wine. How does he do it to avoid a concern of lisha, a malacha of kneading? So he does it in a way which is, it results in a mix of a low quality. Amar Rav Memachay Bikli, he must dissolve it using a utensil, avalei biyad, not using his hand, in which case it results in a more effective mix, and there's a concern of lisha. Armalei shmo biyad, with his hand, atu kol yoyimu mamachalei biyad. Do you mean to say that on an ordinary day, you use your hands to mix the mustard? Machal chamermu, do you think it's donkey food? Certainly, they don't mix mustard ordinarily using hands. Rather, they usually use a kli. Therefore, shmo maintains that on Shabbos, you're meant to do derech shinui, deviate from the conventional manner of dissolving this mustard. Instead of using a kli, on Shabbos you will use your hands. Elomar Shmo memacha biyad, he dissolves it using his hands, ve'enu memacha bikli, but does not use a kli. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. On the second line from the top, beginning with the word memachoi, dishper belaz b'mayim oy biyayin, he dissolves this mustard paste into water or wine. So Rav maintains, how does he do it on Shabbos? Memachoi bikli. Mashma, it seems zeu shini shaloi. This is considered to be a deviation. Ve'enu memachoi biyad, memachoi shapir tfei, because using your hands results in a more effective mix. And Rav maintains that he must lower the quality of the mix to avoid the concern of a malach of lisha. El amar Shmuel memachoi biyad. Shmuel disagrees. He says, do it differently than the way it's ordinarily done. Ordinarily, it's done with a kli. On Shabbos, you're meant to deviate. Use your hand, because this is not the ordinary way of doing this during the week. So the point according to Rav is, lower the quality of the mix. Therefore do it with a utensil, according to Shmuel. Do it derech shinui, in a different manner, in which the way it's ordinarily done during the weekday, therefore instead of doing it with a kli, on Shabbos you use your hands. Continues the Gemara, itmar, another sheet, Rav Leza, Omer, echad ze ve'echad ze aser. Either using your hands or a kli would be aser. Apparently, according to Rabbi Lezer, using your hands, which results in an effective mix, is regarded as lisha. Likewise, doing it with a kli, which is the ordinary manner, results in lisha. So Rabbi Lezer, he cites both stringencies, both of Rav and Shmuel. Therefore, he says you can't do it either way. For Rabbi Yochan Amar, on the other hand, he says echav et zechav mutter. Whether using your hands or your kli would be mutter. There's no concern of lisha. Now, why not? Now the truth is that the Chazon Ish explains that our Gemara is not really discussing the melacha of lisha min haTorah, because dough used for bread, that turns into a single glob. When you mix the flour and the water, that is considered to be true kneading, true lisha, because it's being formed into a single glob, it combines into a singular unit, as opposed to this chardal, which are separate granules, they don't really bond together into one singular glob to the extent like a dough would. Therefore, the Mechazon Ish maintains that there's no melacha min haTorah of lisha being taking place here at all. The concern is really only midrabanan. It's an issa derabanan of lisha. Therefore, we can understand very well that Rabbi Yochanan maintains, no, there's no concern at all. This doesn't really constitute lisha at all. Therefore, you can use his hands orally. As opposed to Rav and Shmuel who say, well, it's also midrabanan unless you deviate somewhat. According to Rav, you deviate by lowering the quality of the resulting mix. Therefore, use your kli, as opposed to Shmuel, who maintains a different angle. He says, you must do shinui by doing it differently than the way it's done ordinarily during the weekday. Therefore, use your hands rather than a kli. So we have four approaches. One allows using a kli, one allows using your hands. One says both are usur, and one maintains that everything is mutter. Continues the Gemara, Abaye v'Rava d'Amar Tavayu, they both said, Ein halacha Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yochanan, who allows in all cases. Continues the Gemara, Kam Rabbi Yochanan, b'shitid Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yochanan reverted to the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, and he held that both hand and kli would be asr. Likewise, come Rabbi Elazar b'sheet of the Shmuel. Rabbi Elazar reverted to the sheet of the Shmuel, which is that he can use his hands, which is derech shinoi, but not a kli. Abaye v'ravid amr tavayu. Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan, says, result of this switchover in shittos, they indeed maintain that halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, and it is usher to use hands or a kli. Imeid Abaye, the caretaker of Abaye of the lay, she prepared, she dissolved the mustard for him, but lo yachal, he refused to eat, because Abaye maintains that it's usher. Dvisa de Zeira, the wife of Zeira. So after Zeira passed away, she remarried to a person named Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. So of the later, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi prepared this dish, this mustard, for Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, and he refused to eat it. Amr Leh, so she told him, L'rabach Avidilei, so the wife of Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said to him, well, for your Rebbe, your teacher, she was previously married to Zeir, who was the Rebbe of Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. She said, I used to prepare this for your Rebbe. V'achal, he had no problem eating it. V'at Leachas, and you, the student, the Talmud, refused to eat it. Amar Rava Bar Shava Hava Kaimna. Kameid Ravina, I was present before Ravina. Vachshi Lei, and I dissolved the mustard for him. B'shuf Sa Tuma, using a stalk. Actually says, Emtsoi Shal Shum. Apparently, speaking about the stalk going through the middle of the garlics. So he used that as a mixing tool. V'achal, and he ate without any hesitation. The halacha does not follow any of these stringent approaches. Ella, rather, ki had itmar, as we learned, chardosh lashem erev Shabbos, chardosh, which was ready made into a paste before Shabbos lemachar, tomorrow on Shabbos itself, memachar, you can dissolve it into a liquid, ben miyad, ben mikli, whether using his hands or a kli, there's no concern whatsoever. V'noisin l'secha dvash, he can place honey into it, v'lo yitreif, but he shouldn't vigorously mix this whole mixture, he shouldn't beat it. Ela ma'arev, but gently mix it, because if he is toirif, if he beats it, in this case, there's a concern of lisha, because he's beating it into a properly dissolved mixture, properly dissolved paste, it is considered to be lisha. Continues the Gemara, shachlaim, this is, Rashi says, creation, some translate it as cress, sheshachem erev Shabbos, which he had already crushed before Shabbos l'machar. Tomorrow on Shabbos, noisel nesechon shemen v'chaymetz. He can place oil and vinegar into it. Umamshich v'sechon amita. He can place amita. The Gemara will say that's mint. V'lo yitreif. Here as well, he shouldn't go ahead and vigorously mix it and beat it. Ela ma'ariv. Rather, he should gently mix it. Shum shiruska mer Shabbos. Garlic, which he had already crushed before Shabbos, l'machar. Tomorrow on Shabbos, noisel nesechon poil grisin. He can place types of beans into it. V'lo yishchek, but he shouldn't crush it. Ela ma'ariv. Rather, mix it. He can place this mint into the mixture. My amita, what is this amita ninya? It is mint. Amar Abaye Shmami, no, we hear from here. Hai ninya, this mint, ma'al yule tachli. It is beneficial, enhances the flavor of the shachlayim of this dish. Now, what is he coming to point out? The Chasam Sofer says that he's coming to point out that the point here is not for therapeutic purposes. We're not adding the mint for sake of refuah. In which case it will be a problem. One can't prepare a refuah on Shabbos. Rather, Abaye says, the point here is to add flavor, to enhance the food item, and therefore it is mutter. So in summary, we're discussing chardol, which was already pasted before Shabbos. Tomorrow he'd like to dissolve it into liquids. We have four approaches. Now again, we're discussing about lisha midrabanan. So therefore, some maintain, if he deviates, if he does derech shinoi, there's no iser. Rav maintains that the shinui would be done by using a kli, which results in a lower quality mix. According to Shmuel, he must deviate, do derech shinui, from the way it's ordinarily done, therefore to use his hand rather than a kli. According to Rabbi Yochanan, in both cases it's asr. According to Mazutra, in either case it would be mutter, and the Gemara tells us, lo yitreif, he shouldn't beat it, he shouldn't mix it vigorously. Continues the Gemara. Ve'oisin anum l'mishabas, Tana Rabban, oisin anum lo mishabbos, one may make this beverage on Shabbos, ve'ein oisin anluntis, but aluntis, he cannot go and make. Ve'ezi aluntis, what is this anumlin, what is this aluntis? Explains the price. Anumlin is yayin, wine with dvash, with honey, or pilpulin and peppers. Aluntis is yayin yashan. It's a recipe using aged wine or mayim tzlu and clear water over a farsum and balsam. The avdi lebei misusa. What do they prepare this beverage for? It's meant to be drunk after exiting the bathhouse. Lebei misusa, the bathhouse. Lemeikar, to chill, to cool off. So it's for the sake of refuah. And therefore, one cannot go ahead and prepare this on Shabbos. Rashi says, Dugmas refuah. It resembles refuah. Amar Rav Yosef, Zimna Chada, there was one time, Alis Basar Mar Ukva. I followed Mar Ukva, Lebein Bami, into the bathhouse. Kinafke, I saw you when I came out, Ashkayan. He served me Chamra, this wine, this Aluntis concoction, Chad Kasa, one cupful. V'chashi mi binsa de Rashi. I drank it and I felt, I was chilled to the extent of my whole body. Mi binsa de Rashi, from the hair of my head, v'atufa de kari, and I felt the chill up until down my toenails, tufa de kari is my toenails. V'yishkayan kasa achrino. Now, had he served me another cup of this drink, perhaps it would have caused me to be in such a state of danger. And if I would have been spared from danger, Hashem would have saved me. I have a mistafina. I would have had reason for concern. Dilma menakuli mischusa. Perhaps they were going to deduct from my reward, from my points, the alma, the asi of the next world. So apparently, it had such a strong effect on him that it chilled him to the extent that he felt one more cup, he would have been in danger. Says the Gemara, v'amar ukva. But regarding Mar Ukva himself, the Shasi Kol Yami, he would drink this every day, and it didn't cause him any harm. Shani Mar Ukva, the Dashpe, Mar Ukva is different, because he was accustomed to drinking this, and therefore, it was not detrimental to his health. Continues the Mishnah. Ein Shoyunis Achiltis, Bepoishun. One may not soak Chiltis. This is some resin, some residue which is extracted from various roots. It's very sharp, and they would soak it, Bepoishun, in lukewarm water, to be used for refuah. So one may not prepare this refuah on Shabbos. Aval noisan sechachoymetz, he can place the chiltis into vinegar and use it to dip his bread in it. Vein sheilinis ar karshinin, one may not soak karshin vetch, type beans that which are used for animal feed. He can't soak it in water, which will enable the skins to float up and separate from the food, which is considered to be boirer. Veloish of an oisan, likewise, he cannot rub them to remove the psilis. Aval noisnos hakvar, he can place the karshin into a kvar, into a sifter, or into a basket, despite the fact that perhaps the psilis will fall through the cracks. There's no concern because he's not actually manipulating, he's not shaking it, he's not doing better. Ein koivinus ateven bekvar, one may not sift teven, which is processed hay. He'd like to get the chaff, the inedible fibers out of the tevin, this animal feed. So you cannot go out and sift the tevin in ikvara because it's boiler, even though it's animal feed, that also involves boiler. V'lo yitznen al gabi makam gavai, you shouldn't place it on a high place. B'shvil she'er da mites, so the mites, these inedible fibers, which the animal won't eat, that mites should not descend, should not fly away. So you can't do these things which will bring about separation and boiler. Aval noitel hu bikvara, he'd like to go transport some of this hay to his animal into the avos, into the feeding receptacle. So you can use the kvara to transport. Aval noisin lubi kvara. Noisin lubi kvara, you can take some of the hay into the kvara, v'noisin zecha avos, and pour it into the receptacle, even though en route some of the psoilis might drop through the cracks of this sifter. Since his intent is merely to transport, and it's considered to be a dover she'ein miskaven, it is mutter. Iboilu, so let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. One may not soak the chiltis in lukewarm water. Iboilu, so they asked, Sharamai? What if one proceeds and does it? What are the consequences? Tirgumar, Rav Adon Ashur, Kameder Rav Yosef. So Rav Adon Ashur interpreted, explained, presented before Rav Yosef, Sharachai of Chatas. If he does this, he brings a Chatas. Now, why would we think it's a Chatas? So Chassam Sefer explains that since he is soaking in lukewarm water, by doing so, he's processing the chiltis. This perhaps is considered a malacha of mevashel. That's the opinion of Rav Adon Ashur. Just as we find that one rinses salted fish, the Gemara later will tell us, even though he's merely rinsing it with hot water, that's considered to be a malacha mevashel because the concept of mevashel is relative to the need of the item. So here, since merely soaking in lukewarm water already accomplishes what needs to be accomplished, that is considered to be mavashal. That's the opinion of this sheet. Abaye vigorously disputed this. Amri Abaye el mi'ata, if that's the case, shoru umtze b'maya, from merely soaks raw meat in water. Hachinami de machayiv. Here too, are we going to say is chayiv achata? Certainly not. So Abaye used an extreme example to illustrate his point. Certainly there's no consideration for chatas here. Elom Abaye, the reason why he can't soak the chiltis midrabbanon, it's an isra midrabbanon shalayase, so that he should not proceed and do kederach shuas b'chol as he does on an ordinary weekday. Some farshim explain this to mean that he's preparing a refuah, he's preparing something to be drunk as a remedy, as a refuah, and therefore he can't do this on Shabbos. So ordinarily they soak it in lukewarm water. What is the halacha regarding soaking the shchiltis? Derech shinoi, to deviate, doing it in soinin, in cold water. Amar lei asur, he can't do that. V'ha anan tanan. So Rabbi Yochanan, who was the Talmud, who had asked Rabbi Yana, his Rebbe, the halacha, and received this response, he continued and he challenged. He says, V'ha anan tanan, but we learned in our Mishnah, Ein shoyin is a chiltis bepoishin. One may not soak chiltis in lukewarm water. Habet soin and mutter. Apparently, in cold water, there's no concern. So why do you say it's asur? Amalei. So Rav Yana, who was the Rebbe, responded, Im kain. If my level of learning isn't higher than yours, ma bein livelech. What is the difference between me and you? You're asking me, and I'm telling you that this is the halacha. Now regarding our Mishnah, masdis nichidoi. Our Mishnah, which indicates that soaking it in soinin is permitted, is following a shita yechida, a single view, which is Rabbi Yossi's view. However, the majority of the rabbanon disagree. Masnis in yechidoi, the sanya, as we learned in the brayse, in shoyin is achiltus. Lo yibechamin lo betsoinin. One may not soak chiltus, not in hot water nor in cold water. Rabbi Yossi, I mean bechamin, also in hot, you can't. Betsoinin, however, in cold you may. Betsoinin mutter. So apparently the point of Machlokes is that Rabbi Yossi maintains that since he's doing it derech shinoi, he's deviating, he's different than the ordinary soaking, he's using cold instead of warm, it's mutter. Whereas the Rabbanan maintain that the difference between cold, between lukewarm and cold is not such a discernible difference here. Therefore the shinoi is not so apparent and visible and is not considered to be a sufficient deviation which allows it. Continues the Gemara, Lemai Avdilei. What do they prepare this beverage for, this chiltis for? What ailment does it serve? Liyukur the liba, if one experiences a heavy heart. Rav Achbar Yosef chosh biyukur liba. He was experiencing this ailment of a heavy heart. Asal kamaydu mar ukva. So he came before mar ukva. On mar lei, so mar ukva advised him, zil go shasi drink. Tlasa tikli chiltisa. So chiltisa is this chiltis. Soak it in... soak in the water. And the amount of chiltis, the quantity should be tlosa tikli, the amount that weighs as much as 3 gold coins. Mishkal gimel zahuvim, Rashi says. So that's the quantity of chiltis that you should soak and drink that water. But tlosa yomi, you should do this 3 times over, 3 consecutive days. Azal ishti, so he went and he drank chamsha b'shabbos, which was on Thursday, or mali shabbos, which was on Friday. Now came Shabbos, let's suffer in the morning, Ozol Shalvi Midrasha. So he came to the Beis Medrash. So he went to ask whether or not he can continue with this process. Omer Lei, so they responded to him, Tana Devei Ravada. We learned by Ravada, Amrilo Tana Devei by Ravada. Shoy Sodom, Kavoy Kabayim Bein Echoshish. A person could drink a large amount of this juice, a kav, or even 2 kav, without any concern. So you can go ahead and drink it, even on Shabbos. Amar Lewis, he responded, Lishtis like him a bayli. I never had a question regarding whether or not I can drink. Kikim a bayli, Lishweis. Lishweis, my. I wanted to know whether I can soak it. Rashi explains, drinking is no concern because this extract is drunk even by healthy people, not necessarily for a fool. So drinking certainly doesn't involve any isser, because as we learned earlier, food and beverage which is drunk by healthy people, maybe drunk and eaten on Shabbos, even if his intent is for remedial purposes, it's okay, because the issur is only when it's clear and evident that it's being done for refuah, as opposed to drinking this, which even standard healthy people would drink. The question is regarding preparing it, soaking it. Apparently from the Gemara it sounds like when it's around, When it's already prepared, then healthy people would drink it. But to go ahead and trouble yourself to actually go through the process of producing it, that's done for four purposes. So in this case, there's a concern. So what is the halacha? Can I go ahead and do this on Shabbos? Amalahu Rab Chiya bar Avin. So Rab Chiya bar Avin responded to them, "B'vididi avo uvda." I had a similar experience. V'asoy she'iltei l'Rav Adar bar Avin. And I went to ask Rav Adar bar Avin, "L'Av yaday," and he didn't have a response from me. "Asoy she'iltei l'Rav Huna." So I came and I asked Rav Huna. V'amar, he said, "Hochi kama Rav." This is what Rav said. "Shoyer b'tzaynin." He can soak it in cold water. "U'manech b'chama," and then place it in the sun to warm her up a bit. So it's allowed. Says no, commander Shari. So apparently Rav was following Rabbi Yossi, who we learned earlier allows soaking the chiltis in cold water. He wasn't following the sheet of the Rabbanon. Says Gemara, no, afilu lemanda aser. Even the sheet that does not allow soaking in cold water, hani mili, that is only heichad loyish tiklal, when he has not drunk anything. So he's initiating the process. He can't do it on Shabbos. Aval lahocha. But in our case, kivan the ishti. Since he already begun the process, chamsha on Thursday, mali Shabbata, and on Friday, he lo shasi b'Shabbos. If he won't continue drinking this on Shabbos, mistaken, his life will be in danger. He's in a sakana, and therefore, for pikuach nefesh, he won't could do anything. But apparently, Rav held that preferably he should do it derech shinoi. Don't soak it directly in warm water or lukewarm water. Rather, do it in cold water and place it in the sun derech shinoi. So, in summary, regarding chiltis, one may drink this juice regarding soaking it. So lukewarm water, it's aser. Regarding cold water, we have machlekes. The Gemara concludes, if he has already begun drinking Thursday, Friday, and now stopping it will put him in sakana. One can go ahead and even soak it. L'chatchila should do it in a deviating way. Derech shini. Continues the Gemara. Mistamich v'ozel r'vachavar Yosef. So r'vachavar Yosef was an elderly man, and he was walking in a manner of leaning. He was leaning on Mistamach Vazil, he's leaning and walking. Akatfe the Rav Nachma Yitzchak. He was leaning on the shoulder of Rav Nachma Yitzchak Bar Achte, who was his nephew. Or Malay. So he asked his nephew, Kimatina and Leber of Safra. When we reached the home of Safra, Ailina, take me in there. Kimatu, when they arrived, Aile. So he brought him in. Boimine. So the uncle asked Rav Safra, Mao Lekaskuse Kitanisa B'Shabbat. What is the halacha regarding rubbing a freshly laundered linen garment, linen shirt on Shabbos? Now, there are two benefits resulting from this rubbing. Number one, it softens it, because after it's laundered, it's stiff and hard, so it softens it. And number two, it also brightens the color. So the question is, can this be done on Shabbos? Is the primary intent to merely soften the material, and then it's okay? A dilma, perhaps. The intent here is to generate brightness for Asr, and it will be Asr. Ritva explains, certainly, both things are taking place. It is softening and getting bright. The question is, what is the primary intent here? What is primary and what is secondary? How do we define, how do we characterize the maisa, the act here? Is it defined as merely a softening maasa and therefore it's a mutter? Or do we characterize it as a brightening maasa and it's us? Our Malay, Sir Safra responded, it's allowed. The intent is merely to soften and it's allowed. Kinofik asa, when the uncle came out of the house, our Malay, so the nephew asked him, my boy, Marmine, what did you ask of him? Our Malay, so the uncle told him, boy, Mine, I asked him, can one rub this garment on Shabbos? He told me he can do it. So the nephew asked him, why don't you ask him regarding a scarf, which is externally worn and more publicly visible? In which case, perhaps there's more reason to characterize and define the rubbing act as a brightening masa, because a person is more particular regarding something which he wears externally. So why don't you ask him regarding that? When there's more reason to assume that it's Asr, why did you ask him simply about an undergarment, which is not so visible? You could have asked him regarding the Suda, which would have been a greater Chiddush, if he would allow it. So the uncle responded, Suda like him, I had no question regarding the scarf, the Baimin Rav Huna. I already asked Rav Huna regarding a scarf, upashatli. And he responded that one cannot rub that scarf. So the nephew asked him, V'tifshatleim l'mar mi Suda. So why couldn't you simply derive the halacha regarding the shirt from the halacha of the sudr, Why did you have to present a new shaila? Amalei, so the uncle responded, there's a difference. Hasam mechzi kilu dechiver. By this scarf, it appears like he's generating brightness because it's externally worn, and his makpid is particular about it. Therefore, we characterize the maisa as a brightness generating thing. Hacha, regarding the shirt which is worn underneath, lo mechzi kilu dechiver, doesn't appear like generating brightness. So I had reason to think that perhaps it would be different than the scarf, and indeed, he confirmed that, and he responded affirmatively, that one may go ahead and rub it. Omer Rav Chisda, hai kitnisa, this freshly laundered shirt, which they would hang using a pole, a piece of wood, like a hanger, which is muktza, because Rashi says it's useless, it's meant for firewood. So how's he going to get the shirt off the hanger? Mishalfu lidi domi kanya, to simply slip the shirt off the kana. Shari, that's mutter. Because although he's indirectly moving the kana, that's called an indirect tiltil, and that's allowed if it's for the sake of the davar mutter, for the sake of the shirt. But to directly touch the kana, kanya mimena, to pull out the kana from the shirt, that's asur, because he's directly touching muksa. Amarava, vim kleiki vayu mutter. If we're speaking about poles, which are part of the weaver's tools, in which case, there's no concern of muksa. As Rashi explained earlier, on Daf Kufyud Gimel, they're not particular about misusing these poles, using it for other purposes. It is not designated for malacha, therefore there's no concern regarding pulling out the pole. Tosfos learns that it's actually designated for malacha, but one can remove the pole because he needs the mekayma, he needs the place of the pole, he needs to use the shirt. Therefore, he can go ahead and move this pole. Omer Rav Chisda, hai kishus adiyark. This bundle of vegetables. So kishus adiyark is the referring to the strap. So they would take some reed, some type of branch, and tie together the bundle of vegetables with it. So is that strap muktzah or not? Ichazil machal behema, if it's edible for an animal, sharel tatuli, one can move that strap as well. V'iloy, but otherwise it's muktzah, and it is also to be moved. Amar chibarashi, amar av. Haitali the bisra, this rope used to hang meat, sharel tatuli, one can move it on Shabbos. The kavri, the one used to hang fish, that absorbs the stench of the fish, the odor, and it's repulsive. Also, it cannot be moved, it's considered to be muktzah machmas is machmas mius, on account of its repulsiveness. Omer Rav Ketina, ha'imid be'emtza hamita, if one stands in the middle of a bed which is used by a couple, kilu oimid be'kreisa shalisha, it is tantamount to standing on the belly of a woman, meaning it will can generate inappropriate thoughts. V'lav milsi, the Gemara concludes, is no concern, a person has the ability to control his thoughts. V'amar Rav Chisda, the Gemara will proceed with a list of pieces of advice, some of them referring to a Talmud Chacham, a Ben Yeshiva who is living on a tight budget, and the Gemara will give us some home economic advice, how to save money. V'amar Rav Chisda, Bar Bei Rav, so this Ben Yeshiva, this Talmud Chacham, the Zovan Yarka, who goes and purchases a bundle of vegetables, Lizben Aricha, should go and buy a long bundle. Why? Kisha Kikisha, the thickness of one bundle is like the thickness of the next one. So they're all the same thickness and equally priced. V'urcha Mamela, and the length comes along automatically as an added bonus, which is included in the price. Therefore, go ahead and choose the longest one. V'amar Chizda, Bai Be'rav, likewise when it comes to a bundle of konim of reeds, Bai Be'rav, this Ben Yeshiva, the Zav and Kanyo, purchases a bundle of konim, Lizben Aricha, you should purchase a long one, Tuna Ki Tuna. The bundle is like the other bundle, equally thick and equally priced, but the length is something which is a bonus which comes along, V'urcha Memelo comes along on its own. V'amar Chizda, Bai Be'rav, Dilein Afishalei Rifta, doesn't have an abundance of bread, Lo Yilechu Yarka, you should take care not to eat certain types of raw vegetables, mishum de garer, since they generate appetite and we will not have enough bread to satiate his appetite. V'amar Rav Chisda, ana loy bani yusei achal yarka, I, when I was poor, I refrained from these vegetables, since it would arouse the appetite. V'loy basirusi achal yarka, likewise, when I became wealthy, I also refrained from these vegetables. But you say when I was poor, mishum the gar, because these vegetables generate appetite, which I could not satisfy. Basirusi, and in my wealth, I refrained. It seems like you refrained from all types of vegetables. Da'amina, I figured, heicha da'ayil yarka. in the place where vegetables can enter, Lyle Bisser Recovery instead should enter meat and fish, which are more healthy and more nutritious. V'omar Avchizda, Bar Be'Rav Deloin officially Rift. So this Bar Be'Rav who does not have an abundance of bread, he shouldn't be the one honored to make the hamaitzi, to cut the slices and serve the guests, because, sorry, Rashi says Lelivtsa B'tzui here means that he should not cut up his own bread. He shouldn't eat it in pieces incrementally, because eating bread in this manner doesn't provide the proper svia. It's not derech svia. It doesn't properly satisfy a person. Rather, he should eat what he has all together in one shot. V'amar Rav Chizda, the Bavi Rav, the unofficially rifta. The Bavi Rav does not have an abundance of bread. Liliftza, he shouldn't be the one honored with making the amaitzi, slicing the bread and handing it out to the guests. My time and why? The loy ovid bayin yofa, since he doesn't really have enough for himself. Perhaps he's not going to dish it out with a ayin yafa generously, for concern that he will not have enough for himself. V'amrav chizda ano, by myself, meikara loy havoy betzana, when I was poor, I refrained from being beitzer, from slicing and serving the bread, for this concern, ad shadoy yodi b'kulimon, until I sent my hand through the entire basket, meaning I examined the basket to see how much was in there, v'ashkachi, and I found, v'ashkachi b'kol tzorchi, I found in there a lot of bread, exactly what I need, and in this case, I allowed myself to be generous, so I would proceed with dishing out the bread. V'amrav chizda hayman de'efshel le'lo mechel na'hamad asari. If one has the ability to eat lower quality bread, which is cheaper, namad asari, is barley bread, and he prefers instead to eat high quality bread, v'ochel dechiti, and he eats wheat bread, which is more expensive, ka'avar mishum bal tashchis, he transgresses the issur bal tashchis, which is merely wasting, unnecessarily. V'amrav papa, hayman de'efshel le'mishti shichra. If one has the ability to drink beer, he insists on drinking wine, because he's wasting. The Gemara concludes, it's not the case. Why? Maintaining one's health. So baltashchus degufa means neglecting one's health is a superior consideration. World was created to serve man. So rather, spend some more and procure high quality food to maintain your health. So this Bar Rav who does not have access to oil, and they would rinse their hands prior to Berachas HaMazon to cleanse it. So what should he use instead of oil? Nimshi b'may de charitzi. Should wash his hands with stagnant water, sitting in charitzi, these cracks, meaning stagnant water, which Rashi explains attracts the accumulation of this algae-like fire thing, which is like an oily substance, and can be substituted for oil. When he goes to purchase meat, Lisbon unka, you should purchase the cut of meat, which is by the neck. The isbe tlosa mini bisra, because in that cut of meat, he will find three varieties of meat all in one. Rashi explains you have three different tastes: shamein kochush and gidat saver. So you have, it will taste a bit like fatty meat, like lean meat, and gidat saver, like the tough sinews of the neck. So in this one piece of meat, you will have all three elements. V'amar chizda barbi rav dezovin kitu nisa. So the barbi rav is going to purchase this linen garment. Lizbani should purchase me the nahar abba, from this location which has high quality linen. V'nechavra kotlas nyoymen, he should launder it once in 30 days. The mefatile, because it will provide for him, it will last him, treisar yarchi shata, for 12 months, v'ano arva, I guarantee this. My kitu nisa, what is the term, what is the meaning of the word kitu nisa? This elegant garment is kita na, good company. This elegant garment opens up the doors for him and enables him to join good company. So a Bar Rav should not sit down on a new tzipsa, a new mat, the mechal yamana, because the moisture of the new mat made from gemi, from this reeds, it can go ahead and ruin, mechal yamana, ruin his garments. He shouldn't give his clothing to his hostess, l'chavri, so she should do laundry for him, l'chavri le'. The lava erech ara is not appropriate. Dil mechazeh be'midi. Perhaps she will notice something inappropriate there. Remnant of a carry, of an emission. Va'osu le'meganya. And this will bring about that he will become repulsed on her. Amar lu Rav Chisda le'bante. Rav Chisda gave advice to his daughters. Tihavit sniya sam be'abigav reichu. Conduct yourself with modesty before your husband. Loy teichlon nahama be'abigav reichu. Don't eat bread in front of your husbands. Mefarsha means, explain this means to say, outside of mealtime, don't go eat bread, you might overeat, and this will not make a good impression in front of your husbands. Don't eat vegetables at night, which can lead to bad breath. You shouldn't eat dates at night, nor should you drink beer at night, which can bring to a passing of air. Don't relieve yourself. The same location where your husbands relieve themselves. Because even if it's not in his presence, Rashi says, but since it's the same location, this will bring about that you become most repulsive to him. Now this is a tznius instruction. When somebody comes calling, a man comes calling above by the doorway, inish, you shouldn't respond, mani, who is he? Which is a lashon of zachar. Ella, rather, say, mani, who is she? Which is a more tzniyasdika manner. Nokid Maganisa, this is referring to the time of Tashmish. Nokid Maganisa Bachadiyade. So when he's reaching to hold on to the breast with one of his hands, Vikura Bachadiyade, and he's reaching for the Makam of Tashmish with his other hand, Maganisa Achviluhu. You should allow them your breast, Vikura Le Achviluhu. Don't allow them your Makam Tashmish for a while, Adimit Star, until this generates distress in them, Vahada Achviluhu. And then allow them, then show them your Makam Tashmish. So this will increase their desire. Continues the Gemara, Ein Sheilin Sakshar Shinin, and the Mishnah says, although one may not do Beirur, but he can go ahead and use a Kvara to place the Karshinin into the Kvara, into the sifter, even though he's not, because he's not sifting it. Likewise, the Mishnah concludes, regarding the Tevin, he can place it into a Kvara, into a sifter, and transport it. Mas nisim le'katana. This does not follow the following Tana, the Sanya, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. Oyme ein mashkichin b'kvar kalikar. We don't get involved in using a sifter altogether for concern that if he uses it as a container, perhaps he'll go and manipulate it, shake it, and do a malacha of beir. Continues the Gemara. Goyrifin refnei apatam. So apatam was this ox which was fattened for slaughter. So he needs to eat a lot, and they would clean up his feeding area, which the Gemara will call an avos, a feeding trough. So they would sweep up the pebbles, the dirt. One can do that. One can sweep up before this animal, before this ox, or mesalkon, it's stud, and likewise, he can go ahead and take the tevin, if there's excess straw sitting there, he can move it aside with meharei for concern that it shouldn't get dirty from the waste of the animal. So one can sweep and move away the excess food. They don't allow. The Gemara will explain. This is the third halacha. One may take food from before, in front of one animal, and place it in front of a different behemoth on Shabbos. And there's no concern of tircha, of unnecessary exertion. It can be done. Says the Gemara. Iboilu, so they asked. Beginning of the Mishnah, initiated with two halachis. Sweeping the trough from its dirt and moving around the excess hay. Rav Deisa says, yes. Chachamim, oisrim. Now, what are the chacham referring to? Rabbanon areshapli? Are they arguing regarding sweeping the trough? They're concerned if he sweeps up the eating area, he might go do a malacha of the mash ve'gumay, straightening out, smoothing out the pits in the floor, which is a malacha of bayna. That's why they don't allow sweeping the area. Or is it safer, please? Or perhaps they are disagreeing regarding the second malacha, moving around the hay. They're concerned about muktzah, because perhaps it gets dirty from the waste. So some of it might be dirty, and it's considered to be useless. It's muktzah. So they were concerned with muktzah. Alternatively, their machlokes is on both. They are disagreeing regarding both. You can't sweep on account of a concern of malacha. You can't move the hay on account of muktzah. So is it first thing, the second thing, or perhaps on both? Tashma, the sani, we learned the chum, echot zeh vechot zeh. Whether sweeping the avos or moving away the tevin, lo yisal ken lo tzdod, then he cannot move it to the sides. So they disagree regarding both halachas. On Rav Chisda machlekes, this machlekes, this iser that the rabbanim don't allow sweeping the trough be'avos shel karach, sweeping a trough built into the ground where there's a true concern of malacha. If he sweeps it, he might see some uneven ground and straighten it out. Aval be'avos shel keli, but if it's an avos of a kli, it's a an eating receptacle, which is a utensil, not in ground. Divrei Kol Mutar, all agree that it's mutar, because there's no concern of malacha whatsoever. Says the Gemara, "Avos shel karak, miikel mandashari." Can you say that an avos built in the ground, anybody would allow, or Deisa would allow? Hokam mashvi gumais. What about the concern of doing the malacha of straightening out the gumais? Eloi itmarchina. If we learn, this is the proper version. Amar Rav Chisda machlekes be'avos shel kli. The machlekes, meaning Rav Deisa allows. Sweeping is only regarding a kli avos. Avo be'avos shel karka, but if it's a eating area built into the ground, divrei kol asa, all agree, even Rav Deisa would agree, certainly there's a concern of a malacha of hashvaas gumais. So when it comes to karka, all agree that it's asur. And the machlokes is by kli. Rav Deisa says there's no concern. There's no malacha in this kli. Whereas Rav Chacham say, well, if we allow him to sweep up the kli trough, perhaps that will lead him to sweep up even an avos shebek karka, which involves a malach. Now the Mishnah had a third halacha, which was moving around food from one animal to the other. V'noitlin pnei behema tana chada. We have one brayso which says noitlin pnei behema shapia yafe. One can take food from a behema whose mouth is yafe, is nice. V'noitlin. And he could take that food, lefnei behema shapira. So he could transfer the food from the animal who has a good mouth, a pleasant mouth, and places that food in front of a behema who pira, whose mouth is not nice. A bad mouth. So we're going to see what this means. So one braisa uses these words. We have another braisa which seems to contradict. Noitlum lefnei behema shapira. He can take food from the behema who has a ra mouth, a bad mouth, the notion of Nebehema Shapir Yof, and places it before Behema, whose mouth is nice. Omar Abaye, I'm going to explain. There's no disagreement. They're both one and the same halacha. Either both brises concur regarding the halacha. It's just a question of terminology. They both hold Mikami Chamer to take food, which was placed before a Chamer, a donkey, to take that and transfer it, Lekami Tura, to place it in front of an ox, Shaklina, and certainly we can move it. Mikami Tura, Lekami Chamra, to take food which was had already been placed before a shor and place it in front of a chamor, loy shaklin, and all agree that's not allowed. And the reason is, Rashi explains, because the manner that which a donkey eats is not the same manner that a shor would eat. A shor drools and he fills his food with saliva. So the food which was present in front of a shor, or the Gemara will say a cow, is unfit and unsuitable for a donkey. So you can't take food from before the ox and place it in front of the donkey because it's just an unnecessary exertion. Chances are donkey will be repulsed from it and will not eat it. Whereas in the reverse, he can do. He can take from the chamer and place it in front of the shor because the chamer doesn't drool, so this food is perfectly suitable for the chamer. So he explains like this. The braisa which says he can take food from the behema shapia yafa. What is that referring to? Which behema is pia yafa? The one that doesn't drool, but chamar. The donkey, lesli riri, doesn't have the saliva dripping. So you can take that food, v'noisin lefnei behema shapia ra, and place it in front of the behema who has a bad mouth. The para is referring to a cow, this riri, which drools. So he can take the clean food and place it in front of the para. There's no concern. Whereas the other braisa which says you can take food from the animal who has a rape bechamar, is referring to a chamar. So in this case he is terming a chamar as an animal who is piara because it's referring to a different context. Why do we call him a bad mouth? The loy daik bochel. He's not selective, he's not particular with what he eats. He eats all kinds of things, kaitzim, barkanim, thorns. So he's not very particular. That's why we refer to him as an animal whose mouth is ra. He's not a fine mouth animal. But since he doesn't drool, we can take the food from him. You can place it before the behemoth who has a fine mouth, referring to the para. The daika, who is very particular regarding what it eats. So this is a different context. In this context, the braisa refers to the chamar as piora, and the para as piora. Both braisas are one and the same. The concept here is one. Concept one can go, exert himself, do the tircha, transport food from an animal which doesn't drool, and the food is still clean and suitable for the other animal, which will eat it, and therefore can do it on Shabbos. So in summary, the Mishnah taught us three halachas. Gerfin fnef hatam, one can clean up the feeding trough in front of this animal. And the Gemara concluded, if it's an avos karka, all agree it's usur for concern that he might smooth out the earth. If it's an avos of a kli, if it's a kli receptacle, then we have a machlekes. According to Avdeis, it's mutzah to clean it. According to Chacham, it's usur because this might lead him to do it even on the ground. Regarding moving away the tevin, the extra food sitting in front of this animal, according to Avdeis, it's mutzah. According to Chacham, it's usur because we're concerned that it's partially dirty on account of the waste, in which case there's a muksa involved. And finally, the mission told us, one can transport food from one animal to the other. The one concluded, he can take from the chamar and place it in front of the par. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with chardal, mustard, which was already formed into some sort of paste. It was ground and it was pasted using its own natural moisture. Now on Shabbos, he'd like to dilute it, dissolve it into liquid. Can he do so? Well, there's a concern of lisha. And we explained we're speaking about lisha midrabbanan. Therefore, according to Rav, if he deviates, if his efforts result in somewhat of a lower quality mix, if he uses a kli, then it's mut, according to Shmuel, as long as he does it differently than the way it's ordinarily done during the week. So if he uses his hands, then it's allowed. According to Rabbi Yochanan, either way it's asur. According to Mazutra, either way it's mutter, as long as he doesn't beat it, he doesn't vigorously mix it, in which case it would be a concern of lisha. We learned about chiltis, which is this type of extract which is soaked in water, in lukewarm water, for the sake of refuah. Now to drink this is mutter because even healthy people would drink it. Regarding soaking and producing this beverage, doing it into pashrin, lukewarm water, would be asr, because it appears like he's doing a refuah. If he's doing it in sinin, in cold water, in which case he's deviating from the norm, this is machlekes. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's mutter because that's a shinui. According to Rabban, apparently it's not a significant enough deviation which allows this. Now, if a person needed to take this for refuah, and he began before Shabbos, can he continue on Shabbos and actually soak it if he needs it? The Gemara tells us it's mutter because it's sakana lechatchila, he should do it derech shinui. We learned several pieces of advice, specifically regarding the home economics of a Talmud Chacham. We learned regarding a machlokes of placing something in a sieve, which may result in some sort of separation taking place there. The Tanakam allows, and the Gemara brought a shita which does not allow, for concern they may actually shake it and manipulate it and doing melacha b'er. We concluded with those three halachis. One, regarding sweeping up the trough, but machlekes, if it is a avos kli, regarding moving around the hay, which may be dirty and sullied, but machlekes, regarding transferring food from an animal to the other. The Gemara concluded, he can take it from a donkey, which doesn't drool on his food, and place it before a cow, which will gladly eat it.